Kenneth Lesser, your host for this program, another opportunity for us to commune, to join together, to conspire with an idea in mind. Let's make our lives better, let's be smart about it, and let's make it easy. We know when we're doing this right, we hear back from people if we've given you good advice, and it's working for you. You call in and you tell me,
that was easy.
Yep, we're going for easy today, and we're going for smart. And one of the things, as people approach retirement, and there's a lot of baby boomers out there. Now, what's going to happen on their income? So have you ever thought about or said to yourself, geez, in retirement, I don't want to run out of money. Well, of course, no one does. So what are we going to do? How to determine the best post-retirement income strategy so that you don't run out of money, so that your retirement is actually something where you have the funds to enjoy it. We're very lucky and blessed today to have a gentleman with a great amount of knowledge and experience, Mr. Alan Clayman. He's here helping us to learn about this important way, and he's got 25 years of experience finding solutions for his clients' needs. And he's a recognized expert in the field of income planning and has worked with well over 10,000 individuals as well as financial advisors to help with their income needs, as well as estate planning and other strategies and solutions. And Mr. Clayman has conducted seminars for thousands of people looking for information on various topics related to financial strategies, solutions, and investments. Now, to give you an idea of where he's coming from, Clayman Financial, LLC, is working to become the most respected and trusted leader in financial services. And their intention, we provide individual investors and their advisors unbiased educational resources and tools to understand their financial situation. And this is accomplished by using a combination of available media technology and sound, unbiased financial strategies. Now, the place to go find this on the internet, myincomestrategy.com. So here we go. Hang on to your seats, because we're going to sort through some important things today. You want to have pen and paper ready to jot down or to get onto that website, myincomestrategy.com. Without further delay, let's bring on our guest, Mr. Alan Clayman. Alan, hello.
Hello, Kenneth. How are you today?
Oh, fabulous. And you?
I'm doing great.
Oh, wow. And now our listeners are going to be even better after we get a chance to visit with you. Now, we made mention of something. I mean, people know, okay, got to do financial planning, but you bring in a term that a lot of people may not have looked at, and that's income strategy. Let's check in. What is an income strategy?
Yeah, well, that's something that people really need to be educated on, Kenneth. And you bring in some good points. You said people are getting older and going to need to turn their savings into income. And just a quick headline, 8,000 Americans are turning 60 every day.
Wow.
Which means by 2030, we've got one in five of us are going to be 65 or older. One in five of us that are left, that is.
Mm-hmm.
An income strategy is a way to derive income from your savings and investments. And a lot of people are doing things backwards. What they're doing is they're taking investments and saying, okay, I'm gonna pick this investment, I'm gonna go with this, and I'm gonna let it go, and they don't have a strategy. And when you pick certain investments, you're actually defining the strategy that you're picking. So a lot of people are looking for advice that isn't sales or investment oriented. They really want strategies, and they want an understanding of what choices they have. And they don't really want any conflict or investment pressure. As you said, they're afraid of outliving their money. They don't want to run out of money. A lot of folks have savings and investments, but they don't know how to utilize them. I've met so many people that have money, and they're just like, look, I saved all this money. I have money in my 401k. I've got a pension. I just don't know what to do. I've got investments, but I don't have an income strategy. I don't have a strategy to derive income off of these investments. Kenneth, there's a lot of people out there that have been sold investments that don't really fit their situation. You know, or conversely, they bought investments that don't really fit their situation. They may have fit when they purchased them or when they were sold those investments, but they no longer fit.
Wow, so I'm guessing that someone made some investments, so they had like an investment strategy, but here you're talking about an income strategy. Can you help clarify some of those differences?
Sure, absolutely. Most of the time, people will either go for some advice, or they'll even get on the web and they'll look at different retirement income calculators. And almost all of the ones that are out there fall into two classes. And both of those classes give the exact same solution. There are linear calculators, which means they don't take into account changes in market fluctuation. And all of the others, which run a probability analysis, along with those linear calculators, they all end up doing the same thing, which is they assume that you're going to sell your investments every month to get your income. Now, there are some people out there that are going to do that. But the vast majority of folks really don't want to do that. They really don't want to couple their income with the markets. So, for example, the stock market was up a bit today and was down a little bit, and it came back up and was up a few hundred points yesterday, and it was down 500 points last week. If you've got your income coupled with the market, when are you going to sell? When's the right time to sell? It becomes a harrowing experience for some people because they end up babysitting their statements or watching TV to try to figure out what's going on. And some of them just kind of throw their hands up in the air and say, gee, I don't know what to do. So what you really need to do is you really need to go out and pick an income strategy that makes sense for you. Now, there are a number of different types of strategies that you can use that aren't necessarily tied to the market.
Ah, okay.
Stocks and stock mutual funds and the like are great for long-term investing, but the math behind pulling money out is different than growing money. When you go back to those calculators I was talking about before.
And is there one of those on your website?
I've got about eight different ones out there.
And what
I'm doing is really giving people, look, here's the standard answer, which I'll save you a lot of time. Here's an inside secret, okay?
Yes.
That you're probably not going to get when you first get onto a website, or if you sit down with somebody, they're not going to tell you this. But if you're using what's called a market withdrawal strategy, meaning you're selling every single month to get your income from your investments. If you take out more than 4% of your original asset base, you're going to run out of money before you run out of time. And that's due to market volatility. See, what happens is the market doesn't go straight up. Market goes up and down. When the market's going up, that's great. But what happens is when the market goes down and you take money out, well, the next time it's time to take money out, you've got to make up not only for the market going down, you also have to make up for the money you pulled out. And so now you're double dipping into your, just think of it as a big pot of investments. So you go in and you reach in and you grab some money, but if the market goes down, now you've got less in there. Now you've got to reach even further into that pot to get that money out. And if you run into a few bad years in the market, you could be in a lot of trouble. And folks who retired in the early 2000s ran into trouble when they didn't uncouple that relationship between the market and the markets, stock and bond markets, and their investments. See, a lot of folks won't tell you. They're going to sit down and they may show you, look, I've got this fancy program, or you get to a website, and oh, I've got this fancy, you look at this fancy program out there, or it's a pretty standard-looking program, or it's from a third-party source that doesn't have, isn't really looking to sell you anything, but they're all pulling money out. And that's really not what a lot of folks want to do. I mean, just think of an investor that's out there that has a whole bunch of money sitting in, let's say, bank CDs, earning a fixed rate of return.
Okay.
Do you think they're going to be selling every single month to get their money out?
No.
No. Doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
That's not the idea of those things. But that's how those calculators work, and that's what most, and not every single person out there, but that's what most advisors that I've run into do. Because that's what they know.
Mm. Wow.
So what you really need to do is I'll give you some tips, and I'll give you some differences and some different strategies. And as you have questions along the way, you know, feel free to ask.
Sure.
You know, we talked about some people being afraid about living their money. Folks want to be better understood. They're with their situation. They want to have more educated conversations with their advisors, or they want to do it themselves. They really want what's best for them. And some of the tips out there that I can give you start with putting strategies ahead of investments. So first you pick a strategy, then you pick the investment. So it's kind of like, I guess a good analogy would be planning your vacation. You don't just, well, I guess some people just get into a car or an RV and drive. But most folks, before they get on a plane, they know where they're going.
Yeah.
So what you need to do is you need to set the destination. So you want to know, okay, well, how much am I going to be needing in retirement? And if you don't know what income you need, a real simple step, I'll give you a real shortcut, is if you're currently working and you're looking to retire very shortly or in the next few years, take how much you earn every year and subtract out how much you're saving. The rest is what you're spending.
Ah, okay.
It's the exact same result as sitting down with your checkbook and adding up all your expenses. It's the same result because you're still going to pay taxes when you retire. So take out your contributions to your IRA or 401k or 403b or other type of retirement plan. Take out any other savings, and now you've got what you're spending. So let's say, for argument's sake, somebody was making $100,000 a year, and they were saving 20. So that means that they were spending 80.
Mm-hmm.
Now just add up how much income you expect to derive in your retirement, either from, and the Social Security Administration said back in 2000 that 25% of the average American's income was derived from working. So just keep that in mind. Think about, am I going to be working? Or if you're retired already, are you working? So what income do you have there? Pension, Social Security, and any other income you may have. So if you have real estate or deferred compensation or options or any other type of income, add those together. And for argument's sake, in that example, let's say that person that's today making 100, saving 20, which means they're spending 80, taxes included. We didn't have to go through your whole checkbook to figure that out.
Yeah.
Let's say all of their other income added up to 40. So that means now you need $40,000 to generate from your assets. So now you know that. That's the first step. So we know we need $40,000 in this particular example. Now we have to figure out what's the best strategy for you. And you need to take a look at different strategies. And if you're not retired yet, pretend you are. Take a look at the different strategies that are out there. Understand what those choices are. Find where you're most comfortable. Once you know that, then you can work towards, if you're not retired yet, you can work towards saving for that particular goal.
It's
not a matter of, I'm just going to kind of throw some investments together and see where I go. It's, let's figure out really what's best for me. Where do I feel most comfortable? And then work towards that. Now, if you pick a retirement income strategy that's not tied to the market's ups and downs, then you really don't have to, you don't have to spend those days sitting in front of the television set watching what's going on. You can kind of uncouple that and spend your time doing what you enjoy. You know, you want to make retirement easy.
Okay. Well, we like easy.
Yeah, so, right, easy is good.
Yeah.
Something else folks want to do is they want to take a look at where they are, whether they're retired or they're looking to retire, and they want to rebalance their portfolio at least once a year. So what that means is that if you have a specific type of solution set that makes sense for you, and for argument's sake, let's just say you've got a certain amount of money in one type of investment and another type of investment, let's say stocks in one and bonds in the other, and they're doing different things for you, and let's say your best mix is 50% in stocks and 40% in bonds and 10% in cash, and that's where you feel most comfortable, and that's going to get you either into retirement or when you're retired, the income you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you're going to need at the end of the year to be that 50-50 or 50-40-10 again, if that's the best set for you. Because some of your investments are going to do better than others. And so if you started out, for argument's sake, 50-50 in the beginning of the year, you're not 50-50 at the end of the year. Because something did better or worse. You know, something went up a lot, or something went down, or something went down even more. So you need to rebalance. And when you actually rebalance your portfolio, what you end up doing is you end up selling your winners and buying your losers, which seems counterintuitive to some people, but what you really want to do is you want to sell high and buy low.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
Right? So you prefer to buy something when it's cheaper, not when it's more expensive, right?
Right.
So if you're rebalancing your portfolio, what you're doing is you're saying, and let's just use that simple example of someone who's like 50-50 stocks to bonds and cash. At the end of the year, either their stocks did better or their bonds did better. You know, in some years, one's going to do better than the other. So what you need to do is then rebalance. So you end up getting rid of what did better and bought what wasn't doing quite as good.
And is that with the hope that it would go up in time? Or
exactly. because you're buying cheaper. So with a lot of market volatility, so if the market's fluctuating and going up and down a lot, what you want to do is take advantage of that and buy into when the market's going down. It's really hard for people to do that. And it really takes a lot of discipline. So an easy way to go about doing that is to make sure that you rebalance your portfolio at least once a year. Some people will rebalance quarterly. Some will rebalance semi-annually. Some will say, okay, I'm going to rebalance on December 23rd. Or I'm going to rebalance on January 5th. Or whatever the date is, it almost doesn't matter. Or I'm going to pick my birthday and 6 months out, or whatever it happens to be. It really doesn't matter. What's important is that you do it. Let's go back to those other types of calculators we were talking about, which I have market withdrawal on my website, and it will work for some people. You just can't have an income need greater than 4% of your asset base. So in simple terms, if you have $1 million, you can't take out much more than $40,000 without running out of money over time. Or if you have $500,000, $20,000, or $250,000, $10,000. Otherwise, you're going to run out.
Ah, okay.
And so what happens is when the market's fluctuating, market's going up and down, if you're using that market withdrawal strategy, which is 90-some-odd percent of the advice out there, and the calculators that are out there are doing, what's going to happen is you're going to do the reverse of what you were doing when you rebalanced your portfolio. When you're rebalancing your portfolio, it's very similar to like being in a 401k plan where you add money every week or every month. When you rebalance your portfolio or you're in a 401k and you're constantly purchasing, you're buying low and selling high. Which is another way of saying that is dollar cost averaging. You're putting money in at, like in a 401k plan, you're putting money in at specific intervals and you're dollar cost averaging, meaning that when the market goes down, you get to buy more. When the market's going up, you buy less, which kind of makes sense.
Sure.
If I went into a store and I saw, let's say I needed a shirt. Let's say I expected to pay, I don't know, $30 for a shirt, and the shirts were $100. I might not buy one, unless I really needed one, right? Maybe I'd buy one.
Mm-hmm.
But if they were 3 for $30, I might go and buy three, because I was willing to spend $30. So it's kind of intuitive to do it that way, that when things are less expensive, you might go in and buy more. Now, when you're selling from your investments to get your income, you're actually doing the opposite of that, which is reverse dollar cost averaging. So remember that big bucket we were talking about before, like having a big pail or a big bucket of money, and you reach in and you go and you sell? You go and pull some out, which is selling that money? Well, if the market's going down, you start selling more at a lower price. You're doing the exact opposite of what's intuitive for you. It's like going into the store and saying, oh, well, shirts are on sale today. I'm not going to buy them. I'm going to wait until you make them as expensive as possible. And then I'm going to go in and buy a lot.
Whoa. Well, I wouldn't do that.
Right. That doesn't quite make a lot of sense, does it?
No,
but that's kind of what most people are doing. And that's what most of the kind of common practices out there for retirement income. So one of the things I'm trying to share with your listeners and with the website and with the work that I'm doing is to show people that, hey, that method can work for some people. You know, those people that need 4% or less and are comfortable with having their income tied with the fluctuation of their investments. But you know what? There are other ways to do it.
Mm.
So some other tips for the folks that are listening. Don't get scared, get motivated. Right? There's nothing worse than doing nothing because you're going to end up short. You know, just bare minimum, you got to rebalance your portfolio. Another tip for folks is go what you feel comfortable with. If you sit down with somebody and they show you a whole bunch of investments, or they show you a solution set, it just doesn't feel right, you got to go with your gut. You know, not every investment's for everyone. Not every advisor's for everyone. You really have to feel comfortable. You have to feel like it's right. You have to be able to sleep at night. It's real important.
So this is, you're talking some about not just getting good advice, but checking in and trusting intuition on something? I don't know if I heard that correctly.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If someone's explaining something to you and you just don't feel comfortable with that particular investment, you know, speak up. Say, you know what, I just don't feel comfortable with that.
Okay.
I just, you know, explain it better to me, or explain it to me. And get the explanation, and if the explanation doesn't feel right, don't do it.
Good.
You really do, because, you know, as I said, you have to sleep at night. You have to be comfortable with what you're doing. You can't be worried about it.
Okay, so that's an important piece. Make sure that you're doing something where you feel comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
And sometimes that may mean searching out several different investment opportunities until you got to what was comfortable.
Right, and again, what you want to do is you want to set up that income strategy first, and in a couple of minutes I'll go through some different income strategies with you. So we can, you know, we can flesh those out so your listeners can hear them. And if they go on my website or others, they at least have an idea of, okay, what are my choices? But you want to pick that first, and then you start fitting the investments in to the income strategy.
Okay. Yeah, so it helps you to sort through them
exactly.
Much more easily, because there can be a number of investments that will make some money, but if it doesn't fit your strategy, then you can just eliminate those right away.
That's exactly right. And you may have, let's say there's 10 different choices within the same strategy for you, and you're comfortable with like 3 or 4 of them. Well, you know what? Go with those 3 or 4 and skip the other 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. If you don't like them, don't do them.
Yeah.
Another tip, spend your retirement engaged in what you love, not worrying about what your income is. And that goes back to what I was saying before. If you're sitting in front of your computer all day, or sitting in front of the TV all day and just watching your investments go up and down, you need to find something else to do. You got to pick a different strategy. You got to find a strategy where you just aren't paying that much attention to it. You have to pay attention to it. I'm not saying don't pay attention to your investments. It's just you can't be watching the television all day long or watching the internet. Unless you're a day trader or something like that.
If you're a day trader, that's one thing, but other than that,
right, there's no reason for it.
A worry wart.
Exactly. Something else, another tip, no single investment solutions. If you sit down with somebody and they say that this particular mutual fund will do it all for you, or this particular bond, or this particular stock, or this particular annuity, take all of your money and roll it into this annuity. Take all of your money and put it in this mutual fund. Run. Run really fast. Get away from that as fast as you can, because there is no cure-all. There is no single investment solution that will work. You need a well-structured approach to your income strategy, which is going to include a well-balanced mix of investments that complement that strategy, your tastes, and your goals.
Okay. All right, so there's not this proverbial magic wand out there, the one holy grail that if you find that, everything is handled.
No, and there are some folks out there that you sit down with that will show you just one thing. And it might be because that's the one thing that they're most familiar with. There could be a lot of reasons they're only showing you one thing. But whatever that reason happens to be is irrelevant. What's important to you is that you don't put all of your money in one investment. And again, there's a lot of reasons for that. Just, you know, you can't put all your eggs in one basket. If that investment goes down, it doesn't work.
Yeah.
And there are certain types of investments out there that are so-called bundled, where they try to do a lot of things all at once. And when something tries to do a lot of things all at once, there tends to be a lot of expense associated with it. And you really have to watch those expenses. You don't want to be paying extra fees to do what you could do either with another financial professional or on your own and pay those fees. So it's something that you really have to be very, very careful about. Next tip, be realistic. Don't expect rates of return in excess of market averages. If anything, subtract from the averages. And if you look back historically, the average in the stock market, if you go back to the 1920s, is around 10%, a little bit more. Now, that's not a guarantee you're going to earn 10% every year, which is, going back to those calculators we're talking about, that's one of the mistakes they make. It says put in a rate of return. Let's say you put in, let's say, 10%. It assumes you're going to earn 10% every single year. And that's never going to happen. The investment, it just, you know, if it did, that would be great, but it just doesn't. Well, it would be great on one hand, but inflation would be creeping up on your lap. Lapping right at that 10%, so your real rate of return would be lower. But you need to be realistic. So the average in stocks has been a little over 10. The average in bonds has been a little over 6. And the average in cash for money market type investments has been a little bit over 4. And so what you want to do is you want to use realistic rates of return. You want to use rates of return for planning purposes that are a little lower than the market averages. So if you take more conservative numbers and you plug those into either the calculators I have on my site or others, or you're sitting with another financial professional and you're working with her or him, then if you use more conservative numbers and the numbers work out for you, you're getting the income that you need, and you're getting a steady paycheck every month in retirement, and you're not sitting by the TV worried about it, and those numbers work using more conservative numbers, then if your investments do better, you'll just have more money.
Yeah. Wow. So that you're setting a person up to win with that strategy rather than being overly optimistic and then setting them up for possible failure and with market fluctuations.
Absolutely.
Huh. Oh, that's nice. Well, that helps.
And one more tip. Don't let your money squander in low rate of return accounts. If you're sitting there and you're watching the stock market go up and down and up and down and up and down, and you're sitting in a savings account earning 0.35%, you're not doing yourself any good. Because inflation has historically run at over 3%, about 3.1. And, you know, you just look at the price of gasoline and what that turns into for other goods and services and airline tickets and grocery shopping, and you know that inflation is in that range and higher. So if you're earning less than the rate of inflation, you're losing money.
Ooh.
And that isn't going to help you at all. So one of the things that you need to do is, if you had all of your money sitting in those low rate of return accounts, not only do you have to generate your income, but you have to make up for inflation. And now you have to make up for everything that you're losing. And that's whether you're growing your money or you're getting income in retirement. Dominic, let's talk for a second about folks who are growing their money, because I'm sure there are a lot of people that are listening that are growing their money. And they're like, well, you know, I just don't know what to do. You know, I see the stock market going up and down, and I thought about bonds, and someone told me about gold, and someone else told me value investments beat growth investments, and someone else told me about small companies, and someone else told me about large companies, and I'm really not sure. You know, and what do I do? And the answer kind of is, you know, you kind of do all of them, which is a very simple way of saying you have a well-diversified portfolio. You own, in the stock market, you own big companies and you own small companies. You own value investments. Value investments are those investments where you think that there's great value in the company, that the stock price is low compared to what you think the company is going to do, or the mutual fund manager that's running it thinks that. Warren Buffett is a good example of a value investor.
Ah.
And you can also have money in growth investments. Growth investments are areas where you think, gee, I think this company is just going to grow. I don't really care what the stock price is. I just think they're going to do well over time. Kind of a classic example of that is Peter Lynch, who ran the Magellan Fund for many years at Fidelity. He's a classic growth investor. He told a story where he went to the mall with his daughter, and he saw a line at the Gap, and he went back to his portfolio, and he bought Gap for Magellan Fund, and it took off. So, you know, which should I do? And the answer kind of is you want to do all of them. You want to be well diversified because you're always going to have a market sector that's going to do better than another. You're going to always have one that's doing worse than another. And if you roll the dice and you try to make a bet one way or the other, you're either going to be very lucky or you're going to be very hurt. And that hurt means you're going to lose a good portion or a lot of your retirement savings.
Yeah, so you're kind of taking into account some of the fluctuations. Now, I'm wondering, the topic was brought up in a discussion about a term called market trends. Yeah. On, I guess, different parts of an economy where some things are growing and more than others, or where some area, if we took real estate, for instance, some parts of the country, things can be growing nicely, or some parts of the city, and other parts where it may not be really growing, it may be declining, depending upon either the city or the part of the country. And I'm just kind of wondering, how do we take some of that into account?
Well, that's a great point, because, Kenneth, what you want to do is you want to make sure, if you have a diversified portfolio, that you have some real estate exposure. Now, that wouldn't have really helped you that much in the last year, but going forward, as the real estate market turns around, it will. And if you're constantly dollar cost averaging, meaning adding money every month, or rebalancing your portfolio, then when the real estate market's going down, and let's say you had a real estate mutual fund that had, and it represented a smaller portion of your investment portfolio, then you're going to be buying in when that market's doing rotten, which is what you want to do, right?
Yeah.
If you wanted to buy a big house, wouldn't you want to buy the big house for, you know, $50,000 instead of $50
million? Uh-huh.
Right? And that's exactly what you want to do. And by diversifying, that solves the problem for you. There are mutual funds out there that do that for you, which have lots of diversification in them. And there are target maturity type of mutual funds that have those. And there are also money managers out there that can help you do that. Now, one of the very first things you ask me, and I want to make sure that I answer this, and I want to make sure that all of your listeners know that they have choices when it comes to income strategies. And you say, you know, what's the difference between an income strategy and an investment strategy? Well, what we were just talking about are ways to invest and investment strategies with diversification. And let's talk about income strategies. So you're about to retire or you are retired. We talked about market withdrawal and some of the dangers there, where you're pulling money out every month,
And that's over 4%.
If you take out over 4%, you're pretty much dead in the water. And you could go on the fanciest calculator and run it 100 times, and I've run them thousands of times, and that's the answer. It's just what it is, and it has to do with the market volatility, and you're not going to get past it. So some other strategies for you. An income investment strategy is a strategy where you're just in income-producing assets. So some examples of income-producing assets or fixed assets would be things like individual bonds, bank CDs, fixed deferred annuities, and different types of trusts, unit trusts, charitable trusts, and certain types of irrevocable trusts that pay a fixed amount. But no mutual fund investments in an income investment strategy. Just think of a bank CD or a government bond, something that guarantees you a payment. If you have a guaranteed payment, then you know exactly how much you're getting.
Right.
So if you go to the 4% example, so if you have $1 million and you need 40,000 or a half a million and you need 20, and you are, for argument's sake, 60 years old, and here's something else you want to do for planning purposes. You want to think, well, if I'm 60, I'm going to live to 100. Now, you may only live to 61, or you may live to 101, or, you know, somewhere in between, but you really want to try to plan out, again, past life expectancy, which is out in your early to mid-80s. You want to plan past there, because if you live past life expectancy, which is defined as 50-50, half the people live past that point, and half the people don't. So what you want to do is plan on saying, okay, well, you know what? I listen to Kenneth Lesser's show every week, and I get great ideas, and I'm going to live a long time. So I want to plan that long, because if you live that long, you want to make sure that your income is still coming in. So for argument's sake, you're 60 years old, you plan out to age 100, with inflation running at 3%, you would need income-producing investments that gave you about 6.7% today, in order to cover not only the 4% of income, but inflation going forward.
Okay.
So you have to look at that and say, well, does that work for me? You know, can I go out and buy those types of fixed investments and get that rate? So whatever the amount of investments that you have happens to be, and whatever your annual income need happens to be, and however old you are, if you plan out, you factor in inflation, you're going to come up with a number. And you're going to say, okay, well, do I feel comfortable with that number? Are there investments out there? When I sit down with my financial professional, or if you're doing it on your own, are there investments out there that can give me that type of income, and I'm comfortable with those investments? If the answer is yes, then you found a strategy that works for you. If the answer is no, you have to toss it to the side and you have to look at a different strategy. Now, you can take that same type of strategy where you have just fixed investments, and you can couple that with a strategy. You can couple that with an investment that gives you lifetime income. And lifetime income can come from a number of different sources. Something that's on the tip of people's tongues and something that people are thinking about, especially when they get a little bit older, are reverse mortgages. And reverse mortgages will provide you an income for lifetime. Annuities, lifetime annuities, not deferred annuities, not the growth types, but lifetime annuities are investments that give you income for life. Charitable annuities, where you give money to a charity and in return they give you a stream of income every single month, that's another lifetime income source. So here's an example of a strategy where you have some money in bonds or CDs or some other fixed investment, and you have money sitting in a lifetime income source. But Kenneth, we have a whole bunch of choices here, because I just rattled off like 4 or 5 or 6 different choices.
Yeah.
So we have a whole bunch of different choices. So what you need to do is you need to say, okay, which of these do I understand? Which of these do I feel comfortable with? Like, if you feel comfortable with annuities and you're not really charitably inclined, something you might want to do. If you are comfortable with the idea of reverse mortgages, that's something that you might want to do. You see where what I said, where you have to kind of set the strategy first?
Yeah.
You got to look at the number and say, do I feel comfortable knowing I need to earn this rate of return on these investments? If the answer is yes, then okay. Then what investments fit into this strategy?
Oh, okay.
Is this starting to make
sure,
sense?
Sure, so that way, you know, if I'm going to maintain this lifestyle, I'm going to need at least this much income, and now, and that's your income strategy, to know what that would be. And then once you have that, then you start to sort through, okay, what investments are going to meet my income strategy.
Right. So here's another strategy. And this one is very, very popular with people. And one of the ones I have up on the site is, and that's the site's the myincomestrategy.com site, is a 7-year spend down and grow back strategy. And here what you do is you take, I'm doing 7 years on the site, and you can actually do any number of years, but let's use this example. What you do is you take a certain amount of money and you put it aside and you say, what I'm going to do is I'm going to let this money grow. And I'm going to have this in a diversified portfolio, what we were talking about before. I'm going to have some stocks. I'm going to have some bonds. I'm going to rebalance it. I'm going to have some values, some growth, all mutual funds. Maybe I'll have a money manager, whatever it might be. And you're letting that money grow, but you're not taking it out of that every month and being subject to market fluctuation. Then what you do is you take another amount of money and you put that aside and you say, okay, well, I'm going to have this generate income for me over the next 7 years. And the way I'm going to do that is I'm going to spend this money. So at the end of 7 years, there's nothing left. So an example, if we use that example of needing 4%, let's just take $1 million and an income need of $40,000 and break it in half and say, okay, we're going to take some money and we're going to put it aside for 7 years. Well, in order to get $40,000 every year for 7 years and cover inflation, we'd need a little bit less than $250,000 to do that. Then at the end of 7 years, there's nothing left. We've drawn it down to zero. There's no money left in there. Now, with the rest of the money, a little over $750,000, what we're going to want to do is over 7 years, we're going to want to grow that money back to the original million plus cover inflation. So that 7 years from now, what we want to do is be able to take whatever number we're going to need 7 years from now, a little bit more than $250,000, probably closer to $300,000, to be able to do it all over again.
Oh, okay.
And in order to do that, we need a little bit less than 5%. I just punched the number in on the calculator and on the website, and it came up 4.92. So what you have to ask yourself is, just like we asked before in that income investment strategy, in the 7-year spend down and grow back strategy, do I think I can earn over 7 years, a little less than 5% on my money? Do I feel comfortable with my mutual funds, or do I feel comfortable with my financial professional? Or does my financial professional feel comfortable that in the next 7 years, we can earn a little less than 5%, 4.9% or so? Which is different than saying I need to earn 4% divided by 12 every single month for the rest of my life
to
get the same income.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
Wow.
So that's another strategy.
And then for people that are kind of new to this and tuning in, when they go to myincomestrategy.com, to your website, now, do you provide consulting or do you refer to people? I know you're primarily looking at educating folks.
Yeah, well, Kenneth, under no circumstance do I think that anyone that's listening to this is going to hear this and say immediately, I get it. You know, some people might, but the vast majority of folks would say, gee, I need to learn more about that. And the same thing with the calculators and the website. There's a book and there's a DVD, or if you want, you could just read the book online. You can download it as a PDF, or you can watch the video right online. And with the book or the DVD, you really get the instruction as to how do all of these different strategies work. And then once you say, okay, now I understand how these strategies work. So, for example, we did a 7-year spend down in Growback. There's a 14-year one, which is very, very similar, where you put money aside, you use it for 14 years, and then after 14 years, you need to replenish it. And you need to replenish it plus inflation. And the math behind that means I need to earn on average 5% a year for the next 14 years. Which is a heck of a lot easier to a lot of people to say, I need to average 5% a year for the next 14 years than I need to earn 4% divided by 12 every single month for the rest of my life. Which is virtually impossible with market fluctuation. So
that makes it a lot easier. This is excellent. I see where I feel like I want to continue, and I'm noticing we've gone through most of our hour, Alan. This is just amazing at how much good information we've received in a short amount of time with you. I am just pleased to have this opportunity for myself and our listeners to one, be introduced to you and as you know, just in this time, and then to turn to you at myincomestrategies.com, where they can download this book and CD, you were saying, to help us to study this further.
Yeah, if you're real interested, buy the book or the DVD, and that's going to really walk you through all of the calculators. Calculators are on the website; they're free. And if you want to go through those, they're out there for you to use. And my pleasure, offering those. I also offer for anyone that has any further needs. I would say I offer my services and the services of Claimant Financial as advisory. We're not selling investments. There's no investment by this stock, bond, mutual fund, annuity, anything like that. It's just, here's the right strategy for you. We'll help you do it. Use our service. If you don't use our service, go to a good, trusted financial professional. Go through the website. Go through the book, the DVD, the website. Get in your hands the knowledge to say, here's where I feel most comfortable. Then go to your financial professional, whether it's me or whomever it is, someone you've had a long-term relationship with, someone that you feel that you can trust. Sit down with them and say, okay, look, I went through this. Here's where I feel comfortable. Can you please now help me tailor this to my individual situation?
Ah, so that's the guidance that we could get from you that then to take further to other advisors.
Awesome. Absolutely.
That's great. You know, it's nice just to be able to go in so we aren't prey to their predispositions about what thing that they're excited about, but it's going to meet our needs. This is fabulous. Alan, I just want to thank you so much for taking this time and thank all my beloved listeners for tuning in and visiting you at myincomestrategy.com so that we can plan so that we don't run out of money, so that we actually have a steady income stream so that we can enjoy our retirement. And just wish you continued success in in helping so many of us baby boomers to be smarter and future generations. So thank you for what you're doing. And the listeners, thank you for tuning in. And remember, every Saturday at 4 p.m. Pacific, we're here with more Advanced Living Radio to help make your life better and easier. And we just thank you for this opportunity and send all of you a blessing, that your lives grow and prosper, that you have great health. And we just put that out there, and we say thank you to all of you, and God bless you, and goodbye for now. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, Kat.
You're welcome.